Recruiting is the lifeblood of every college program. And Louisiana is always dripping with talent. For the next hour, 103.7 The Game is taking you inside the ropes in the world of recruiting. It's time to take a ride with us on the trail. Here are your hosts, Ben Love and Shay Dixon.
Top of the weekend morning to you. Ben Love alongside Shay Dixon. Go247.com. National Signing Day. Part due has come and gone. And so you've got a little bit of a post-mortem edition here. We're going to go in deep. LSU, UL, and even take you around the state. In a moment, Shay's going to react to what LSU was able to accomplish on Wednesday, adding six to a class that was at 19 and getting to the finish line of 25 players. In our next segment, you'll hear directly from Coach Ed Orgeron. In particular, one comment he made that a lot of people in Louisiana are gravitating toward. Yeah, we'll have that here in about 12, 13 minutes. And then halfway through the program, Billy Napier, head coach of the Raging Cajuns, gave me a fantastic interview, a one-on-one sit-down right smack dab in the middle of landing a class that's now up to 29 that they're going to introduce to the Cajuns football program. And we'll end today. Shay's going to share some intel, Tulane, Louisiana Tech, schools that aren't LSU, UL, what they were able to accomplish in this 2019 class. But it is time to bring Shay aboard, and let's frame it this way. LSU, we thought, would get to 23, maybe 24 Wednesday if they landed Ishmael Sopcich. Well, they didn't, and the number was still 25. So we know that from a quantity standpoint, they got the job done. They're not going to have to go out and seek grad transfers, JUCO guys, unless they need some kind of unforeseen roster management. The quality, I think, pretty superb as well. I'll let you address it. Your reaction to what LSU was able to accomplish on Wednesday.
Well, it didn't finish how they wanted, right? I mean, they wanted defensive linemen. After the Alabama game when they lost, Ed Orgeron said, my biggest priority going into signing day is going to be getting better in the trenches and signing more defensive linemen. And they hit on that in December. And I mean, let's not forget, they signed Apuaika, who certainly is one of the better pure nose tackles in the country. He's going to have to shed some weight, which is sort of the issue with a lot of these guys that they've signed up to play nose tackle, which I think is somewhat troublesome. But I really like Joseph Evans, a back-to-back 1A defensive player of the year, a two-time state shot put champ. He can throw it 55 feet. He's got two cousins that played in the NFL 10-plus years. There's a lot to like about him coming out of Hainesville. Didn't ever really blow up on the recruiting scene because he committed to LSU early and never really wavered. But if they would have added him late in the game out of a big city, he would have been a big-time player. So I like that ad, but then that becomes sort of the extent of it because they went into this signing day wanting to hit on the Mississippi defensive lineman in Sopcich, and they didn't. So when you look at what they did get, they went into the day with three verbal commitments and six open spots. And the three verbal commitments, Sony Fanua, an edge rusher out of Utah, Salt Lake City native, Maurice Hampton, the obvious two-sport baseball, football standout for them out of Memphis, Tennessee, and then Ray Parker out of Ruston, who we'll see if he becomes academically eligible when Ed Orgeron met with the media. He said straight up that Ray Parker is expected to be eligible. We'll see if Coach Ball and them have a plan in place for that. But you look at those three guys as guys they already had on the commitment list. They wind up signing all three of them knowing that they were going to have extra room. And then they moved forward and filled the other spots with some pretty talented guys to add on the back end, certainly at least in two of the additions. Jay Ward, a guy who committed to LSU out of the state of Georgia. He played for Colquitt County. They went all the way to the state title game this year, came up just a bit short, but played for Rush Probst, obviously one of the better coaches in Alabama over the past couple decades, and is a pure corner in a class where they signed three really good pure corners in December in Derek Stingley, Cordell Flott, and Ray Darius Jones. And I think LSU's got to feel great about that, given they didn't sign a corner last year. They only signed Kelvin Joseph. They had to move him to corner this year, which is not his natural position. And now you can move him back to safety and feel a little bit better about it. And then they add Hampton, who I already mentioned, who can play corner, can play nickel, can play safety. He'll certainly be an outfielder for the baseball team, and I like that addition a lot. So five guys listed as corners. One of them is a little more versatile, can play a couple positions, but I like those guys, and then they cap it all off in a meet with Devonta Lee. He was the last announcement of the day. Came in at, about 12 o'clock, a little after, for LSU, celebrated it on stage with all the family, and the A-meet crowd certainly went wild when he put on the LSU hat. And he'll head to LSU and start out at receiver, but with his size, he's probably 225 right now, in that 6'3 range already. I think he could be a receiver. He can be a corner, he could be a safety. He could be a linebacker. It really doesn't matter ultimately which way you put him. I think he'll be good. And Ed Orgeron took a sort of a subtle jab, actually not so subtle jab, at Ishmael Sopcich, saying that they went to the state title game and Devonta Lee was the best player on the field. But he was that day. That was a fair thing to say. And a lot of people like his upside. And the last spot, who, as we said, Ben, we didn't know if they missed on all these guys, would they stay at 23 or 24, or would they end up going for a final guy? And they went for a final guy in Desmond Little out of Vigor, the Mobile area, three-sport athlete. He's kind of that Barkevious Mingo size at, in the 6'4", 6'5", 215, 220 range. And now that he's not running track and playing basketball and playing football all year long, he'll have a chance to finally add some weight and not just be doing pure conditioning, especially playing basketball and track, which beyond him running around the soccer field would be the two things that are going to keep him the skinniest, and not allow him to add weight. But I like the finish, and look, I don't know if Desmond Little's ever going to be anything. He may well be, but I do know that that last spot, for some reason, the Mr. Irrelevant position over the past 6-7 years is hit all the time. And obviously it went to Joe Burrow last year, but let's not count him. He wasn't a high school kid. Prior to that, you run down a list of Justin Jefferson, their best receiver, Lloyd Cushenberry, their best offensive lineman, Foster Morrow, a multi-year starter at tight end. Daryl Williams and Russell Gage sort of shared that spot. Russell Gage got the last spot, and then Daryl Williams got added after signing day. Both those guys turned into multi-year starters playing in the NFL. And then the 2 years prior to them, it was Duke Riley and Deion Jones who got offered late and got to squeak in on signing day. And, spoiler alert, they both also play in the NFL right now and play on the same team. One of them starts. One of them plays a ton. So I don't know what it's been for them to be able to hit like that at the end, but Desmond Little's got some big shoes to fill, Ben.
I love that last point. Shea Dixon going deep, and I mean really deep there. And the common denominator, and this is where it'll vary a little bit, Shea, from Desmond Little, I'm pretty sure every one of those guys you just mentioned, and again, we'll exclude Burrow, from the boot. You just ran down kids from the New Orleans area, Duke Riley, Debo Jones. Now they're two of the best four linebackers on the Atlanta Falcons team. And you went through guys, Foster Morrow from the New Orleans area. So many players that were added late, Lloyd Cushenberry, and wanted to be at LSU. Desmond Little, according to Ed Orgeron, was a silent commit. And so even though he's coming from the state of Alabama, he wants to be at LSU. And now when you tack him on to Peter Parrish, that's two kids from the Yellowhammer State. That's a nice haul for Ed Orgeron and company. And we will get to that elephant in the room, pun intended with the Bama reference, Ishmael Sopcich here momentarily. But, Shea, before we hit our first break, LSU in the 247 composite rankings finishes number 5. I know in some of the individual site rankings they're as high as 3, but we'll go with the composite. Bama was 1, Georgia 2, Texas 3, A&M 4, and as we mentioned, LSU 5 ahead of the likes of Oklahoma, Oregon, Michigan, Florida, Clemson, the defending national champs. When you look at this from a national perspective, I don't think this class was anything short of a home run. If people want to argue it wasn't a grand slam, fine. Nitpick. But this was a really strong class.
It's a strong class, yeah. They addressed a lot of needs. Look, they finished 15th a year ago, which is not impressive for LSU standards. I mean, a top 10 class is very good. Let's not kid ourselves. But 15, you knew you missed on some guys, and they did. They mismanaged the board in a big way last year. If you'll remember when they chased James Foster, he went to Texas A&M. They had Mario Goodrich, which they didn't really ever, kind of Ed Orgeron didn't seem to give the green light to go for because they had to wait out Patrick Surtain and Foster, and Surtain went to Bama after everyone thought he'd go to LSU. But that's ancient history at this point. I mean, they had everything sort of lined up to, okay, if they did miss on the back end with these split signing days, They knew they could turn around quickly on Jay Ward. They knew they could go get a guy like Desmond Little. They knew they could sign a kid like Ray Parker, who they may have to take a bit of a risk academically, but you're willing to wait it out, knowing, you know, that you're not going to maybe find much better in terms of a long-term tight end offensive tackle prospect coming out of JUCO. So I like the strategy this time more than I did last time. And, I mean, they hit on – I mean, they had to have all these different positions, right? DB, running back, which they had the best running back class. They had the best DB class. They didn't need many receivers. They got the only two good receivers in the state that they really wanted. And they got a bunch of offensive linemen. They got some really talented linebackers. It really just boils down to they didn't hit on the defensive line, and that was sort of an issue for them, and now they're going to need to double down on their efforts next year, Ben.
A lot more to come. Coach O, you'll hear from him in the next segment. Head coach of the Raging Cajuns, Billy Napier, half past the hour, and then Shea going to break down what everybody else did from inside the state. A bit of an announcement as we head to our first break. You are listening to the season finale of On the Trail. Shea and I, we're going to catch up a little bit. He's going to go do a lot of his, you know, day job, and then we will re-huddle, reorganize as we move forward a little further into the 2020 class. So don't shed a tear in your beer for us. It's been a heck of a ride so far. We've enjoyed it with you, but we'll come back and continue a season finale edition of On the Trail on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. And yeah, mostly an upbeat time. LSU, a top five class in the country, and you're about to hear from their head coach Ed Ogeron. UL, the top rated class in the Sun Belt. Within the next 15 minutes, you'll also hear from head coach Billy Napier. This is On the Trail, back in on 103.7 The Game, and let's get right down to brass tacks. This is the soundbite that you've probably heard already. If you haven't, go get your popcorn, because a lot of people have been discussing this one. But I want you to hear the context. I want you to hear all of it. This is about the only real downside to LSU's Wednesday. They didn't land Ishmael Sopcich. And again, for me, all cards on the table. I don't want to completely repurpose my talking points from Bumper to Bumper Sports this past week. I don't think they missed out on a kid who is a no-doubt three-and-done type prospect. At one point, Sopcich, out of A-Meet, was the number one, number two defensive tackle in the country. Put on some weight, started to slip a little bit in the rankings. He's still absolutely somebody LSU wanted, so don't hear me incorrectly here. But I think for Alabama, this is a kid that they maybe don't prioritize as coming in and starting day one or maybe even year one, two, or three. I think this was a turf war play for Saban and Alabama. There's no question that it hurts LSU. But Ogeron was asked during his presser on Wednesday, does LSU have an A-meet problem?
You know, I'll say this. We went into that area and haven't had a lot of success there, and I'm happy that we got Devontae. And it was a two-year recruiting battle to get him here. A lot of schools wanted to get him there. Obviously, there's some players at other schools that help recruit these guys, and whatever makes them go over there, I don't want to discuss that. I just know this. We did the recruiting the right way, as well as we can do it, and we feel good that we got Devontae.
Is that kind of similar to, like, Les Monroe for a little period of time was kind of hard to get some guys? Is that kind
of you can put that. You know, but again, we have somebody. We have Devontae. I want to get all the players in the state of Louisiana every year. And, you know, sometimes you will, sometimes you won't. I'm glad we got the guys we want. They want to be here.
Shout out to Jacques Doucet, an Acadiana area native, now doing great work, award-winning work with WAFB. Glad to hear him there. But if you heard what O said, there were two things that just leap off of the soundbite, right? Whatever's causing them to go there, I don't want to discuss that. And then number two, we recruit A-Meet the right way. That is the most non-subtle way I've ever heard for a coach to say they are cheating. So, again, I'm not going to dive into the deep end there, because if you think Alabama's the only one cheating, you're listening to the wrong show. And after all, if you love recruiting, you probably know that everybody is doing a little rubbing is racing, if I can quote some Tom Cruise, Days of Thunder. But we're going to move on from that. That was just easily the most entertaining part of what Ed Orgeron had to say. Let's go from the bad to the good, and we will stay in a meet. Coach O did a deeper dive on Devontae Lee, a wide receiver who fills out an incredible class that LSU has landed. And consider, before we get you Coach O on Devontae Lee, consider the last 2 years in Louisiana. Terrace Marshall, Jamar Chase in your 2018 class, and now Devontae Lee along with Trey Palmer out of Kentwood in this class. That is dynamic.
I want to start with Devontae Lee, 6'2", 215. The first A-meet player to sign at LSU since 2002. We're excited about that. We watched the tape and we watched the state game. We felt that Devontae was the best player on the field. We watched him play basketball. I want to commend Mickey Joseph for an outstanding job. Mickey recruited him. Miss Lucretia, his mother, great character, family, great character, young man. Devontae is going to do some great things at LSU. We're excited about him.
And again, the best player on the field. Let us not forget that Ishmael Sopcich was also on the field for that ball game. So Coach O pressing the buttons that he wants to press. Hey, big fella, explore the space. Do what you got to do. Let's get some more from head coach Ed Orgeron reacting to LSU's 2019 class. The hay is in the barn. And here he goes in on another player. And this guy was a huge question mark, frankly. I mean, think back to this show last week. We didn't have Ray Parker in the class. Academic ineligibility. The thought was he would go JUCO. And I think Shea might have even said a 2021 type of stash player for LSU. Also concerns, as Adam Hunsucker of the Monroe News Star told us on this show several weeks ago, that the kid wants to play tight end and everybody's recruiting him as an offensive tackle. Well, as we come through the wash, LSU's got Ray Parker. And as Coach Orgeron tells you here, they are going to let him start out at tight end.
Ray Parker from Ruston, Louisiana, 6'5", 260. He's going to start out at tight end. Ray has some great work to do. We gave him some assignments. We had to see some grades get better. He did. He is going to be academically eligible. We didn't know that at the beginning. And we are proud that his coach Ball and Ruston High School put him on the right track. And the outstanding athlete, outstanding tight end. So we're excited to get another player from North Louisiana, a very fertile ground for LSU.
I wonder if dude had to do a book report in all of this. But they gave him assignments. He passed what they needed. And look, if they can get him in, I will promise you this. If LSU compliance gives the thumbs up, the kid's going to be eligible. They don't really mess around. They're usually a little more strict than a lot of the others, not just around the country, but specifically in the SEC. And always, you have to honor recruiting promises, .. at first. So to hear that Ray Parker's going to be a tight end for LSU, let's see how that goes. Let's just see. Because Dare Rosenthal, midseason in 2018, because of depth concerns, made the move to offensive tackle. I would bet money at some point that Ray Parker tries his hand at that position. How about a little more from Ed Orgeron here? And this feeds into what Shea discussed earlier in the program. LSU saved a spot. In the years past, it's been Justin Jefferson. Boy, did that work out. Duke Riley, Debo Jones, the list goes on and on. This time around, they saved one for a kid that's out of state. And while he doesn't necessarily mention Desmond Little by name here, have that name in mind as you listen to Coach O.
Well, here's the deal. We had a pecking order going down, and obviously we had some guys that we went after didn't come. And Desmond was always sitting there, and he's a guy that we thought that would always come to LSU, and we gave him a scholarship, and we're happy that we have him.
So we did mention him by name, but the good news about a guy like that, he wants it just a little bit more. The bad news, as Shea has said, and we'll probably expound on this a little more later in the show, you didn't land on some of the defensive linemen that maybe had shots at. A lot of official visits from D linemen late in this process, late in the month of January, and frankly, even into early February. and LSU didn't hit on the D line. But we'll see if Desmond Little, at 6 foot six, just about, becomes maybe an impact player that you didn't see coming. All right, one more from Ed Ogeron. And speaking of impact defensive players, Sony Finua, another part of that Polynesian connection. Another guy like Apu Aika that's out from kind of that western region, the Salt Lake City, Utah region. And it should be mentioned, another guy that Bill Bush, second-year safety coach, has helped LSU to kind of tap into that market and really, to be honest with you, those bloodlines. And so pretty cool stuff. And here, Ogeron tells you just exactly defensive lineman Sony Finua reminds him of.
Well, you know, here's I love Sony. I think that he's going to come in and play. He reminds me of Lewis Neal. Lewis Neal gave us the ability to play a 3-4 end. He could play a four technique. He has the athletic ability to play a 6 technique, get on the edge. So we thought that he brought a lot of value to us. Looking back at our pass rush, we needed better edge rushers. We knew that Desmond could come in at 6'6", 220, perhaps be Arden Key, Kiki Mingo-type football player with tremendous speed. So we felt that we had values at pass rush, to our pass rush. We went after, I believe, 4 other defensive linemen. They chose to go other places. They were really good players. We didn't get them, but you know what? We have a good defensive line coming back, and on to next year.
And as we head to our halfway home break, look, there are some recruiters that produce year in, year out. A guy like Corey Raymond at LSU, but I think Bill Bush had a huge recruiting cycle for the Tigers. Likewise, as you'll hear more about later, no doubt in my mind, Rob Sale did the same for the Cajuns. And we'll talk to the head Cajun next, Billy Napier, when On the Trail returns. We're brought to you each and every week by Artco Equipment on 103.7 The Game. From Tigers to Cajuns, it's Cruton. Oh my, this is On the Trail on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love back in with Shea Dixon. Go247.com. Bad news for Shea, good news for you. He's got to listen for about 11 or 12 minutes. I've got a great interview. If you didn't hear it in the midweek, we're going to run it back now. Because frankly, I can't give you any better intel than this. Billy Napier, right after the original 26 for the Cajuns were inked on Wednesday. And again, 19 of those were guys from the early period. He was reflecting on being at 26, and what's unbelievable is that they got to 29. So understand, this interview was conducted Wednesday right after a bit of a public unveiling around lunchtime. And so here's my interview with Raging Cajuns head coach Billy Napier. And remember, this was at 26. Excited now to be joined by Billy Napier, going into his second full season as the head coach of the Raging Cajuns. And coach, a landmark signing class. You guys started on this thing, I'm sure, right when you landed in Lafayette for the first time. What's the feeling today, February 6th, as you get to ink all these guys?
Well, first of all, I think we've got really good people. You know, I think we've hired well, not only the 10 full-time coaches, but critical people in the recruiting and personnel departments, and a great team effort. I think we got a group that is selfless, very objective, you know, great dialogue throughout the entire year just to make really good decisions, not only recruiting them, but evaluating them and making sure that we get the best players that we can get and the best people we can get. So gives me a lot of conviction about the type of staff that we have and the people around me. So we're excited to continue to get better at it. I think we'll get better and better as we go forward.
How did the early period benefit your program specifically with this class, and in particular, I guess, the hay you've been able to put in the barn since December?
Well, I think it's huge for a team like UL because of the you don't have to sit around for 2.5-3 months waiting to see if somebody comes in and steal one of your guys. You know, we had a little bit of that situation last year. Ole Miss, Mississippi State comes in and takes a few from us on the last day. So, you know, the ability to secure those guys before maybe the dust settles and all the teams get finished with bowl practice and their bowl game, it was big. You know, I think we evaluated well, and I think we did a really good job of building relationships so that those kids had conviction, believed in what was happening here, and went ahead and signed in December. So I think it's a huge benefit, especially for teams like UL, and I really believe it's going to create more parity in college football. I think it's going to make the cream of the crop make more mistakes than maybe they would have made with the previous system.
Loving the insight. We got more to come. Billy Napier joining us on 103.7 The Game. Describe the Rob Sale influence in North Louisiana. And look, I know he's not the only guy putting in work. Tim Leger coached at ULM. He's got inroads. But Rob Sale, what does he bring, I guess, I-20 and in that area?
Well, I think he's just, you know, great relationships. You know, having grown up there, certainly played in the state at LSU. You know, a couple years at McNeese, a couple years at ULM. You know, he's just got great relationships. And, you know, he gets accurate information. You know, guys are truthful with him. And Rob's a diligent worker, man. The guy's a tireless worker. He's professional. He's first class in how he treats people. And certainly he's been doing this for a long time. It gets a little better every year.
A lot of people are going to look at the quarterbacks that you're bringing back, but you've added a lot as well. The additions in this 19 class, how do they affect the way that you can treat the position in terms of depth and then how you evaluate starting quarterbacks and guys that will contribute on the field?
Well, we needed to get more arms on campus. You know, we needed more guys to compete. You know, I think certainly we wanted to create a competitive situation for next year's starter. Levi obviously is the leader in the clubhouse, but we've got some guys that are here now competing. Certainly the addition of Clifton McDowell, Chandler Fields, and Ave Mongale. You know, we're excited about those guys. I think they're all got tools to work with, you know, how they develop, what type of worker they are, what type of student of the game, how they process, all of that. You know, will come to fruition here in the next 6, 8, 10 months as we get close to that first game.
You mentioned Magale, and we've had him on the program, Mount San Antonio College, but he's not the only JUCO guy that you've added today. What can you discuss when it comes to Jaquane Nelson? Hutchinson Community College, I don't have to tell you. I mean, that's prime breeding ground. So what do you get out of the big defensive lineman?
Well, it gives us immediate depth issue on our team, you know, and he gives us a little bit more length and stature at that spot, you know. Certainly an area where we didn't have quality depth in the past. I think he's a guy who's 3 for 3. He will be here June the 1st. And we had a really good relationship with his coach because that coach was a graduate assistant at Arkansas with Coach Segrist. So he stamped him and vetted him. Obviously, Coach Segrist and Coach DeLuke went up there several times. And, you know, we're fortunate to get him. You know, it was a big deal to get him this morning, kind of the final piece of the puzzle.
And now we'll talk about the North Louisiana kids. We mentioned Rob Sale, the influence, but the new names today, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, LaKamian Franklin out of Neville High School, and then out of West Monroe, Andrew Gleason. So how big are those additions, especially that position?
Well, I think LaKamian is a guy who played with his hand down most of the game, but he's more of a linebacker size. So a little bit out of position. We had him in camp. Really felt like he was a guy that was getting overlooked. Evaluated him closely throughout his senior year. Another guy who's got incredible grades, test score, great family. Just had them in this past weekend. You know, he's 6'1 and change. He weighed 213 the other day. He's got big features, big hips, broad shoulders. I think he's still growing a little bit, but I think he's going to be a really good linebacker, not just an outside backer, but we're going to start him as an inside linebacker. So he's got loose hips, really ran well in our camp, ran 4.53, and he's gotten bigger in his senior year. Andrew's another guy who's kind of a late bloomer, gained 20 pounds, you know, in the past 6, 8 months. So, you know, played really hard, great motor, football family, a guy that's really just got great desire, eat up with being a good player. Played alongside Dalvin, and a guy, he kind of reminds me of David Pollock back at Georgia back in the day. So going to be a 6'2.5 guy. He weighs 243 now. We're going to start him at outside backer, defensive end, and then just kind of see where it goes from there.
I was in school at Georgia, same time as David Pollock. So he starts jumping into quarterbacks from 15 feet away. You know you got a carbon copy, right?
Yeah, we played Pollock when I was at Clemson as a grad assistant, and he was a disruptive dude, man. Great ball get off, elite quickness. Not the biggest guy in the world or the longest guy, but just really important to him. And he had great instincts. You could tell that he cared about, you know, doing his job at a high level.
Another moment or two with Raging Cajuns head coach Billy Napier. Let's talk O-lineman. A.J. Gilley coming from just up 49, Natchitoches Central, and then Tyler Brown, St. Joseph Catholic in Mississippi.
Yeah, two really good evaluations here. Both guys are 6'2.5" by our measurements. You know, 300-plus pounds. I think Tyler was 303 on his visit. A.J. was 310. Both really good athletes, built for leverage, high hip, long arms. Both young, big feet. Really impressed with A.J. here as of late. Like the other day, he dunks a basketball at 6'2.5", 310 pounds. Just a tough kid, great family, blue-collar people, and a guy who I think is – both these guys are guys that played small ball and have really good tools to develop. So I think they're both built for power and both proved it in our camp. And I think we've made really good decisions here.
You know the kickers are people too, right? So tell me about Grant Paulette out of Hebron High School in Texas.
Grant played at Hebron. He's certainly, if you play football there, football is important. It's a packed house. He made some critical kicks. He's got a big leg. He won our competition in our specialist camp. He's a guy we've been tracking for a long time. Had some other opportunities and fortunate enough to get him in the boat. And he'll compete along with Kenneth Almendares and Scotty Stevie Artigue coming back off the injury. So gives us a third person there to compete for that job. But tremendous family, great competitor, physical kid, like makes tackles on kickoffs, you know. So we're excited about Grant and what he'll bring to that competition.
As things stand, you're going to have 26 scholarship players through this class, 17 from Louisiana. Is that a blueprint you'd like to follow year in, year out?
It is. You know, I think that percentage is about right. You know, and hey, some years may be different. You know, we're going to try to evaluate this state first. Kind of believe in that pride element that goes with playing here and being from communities that are nearby. And certainly I think that'll help our blueprint in terms of, you know, the culture that we're trying to create here. So we're still going to recruit the surrounding states that have lots of talent as well and evaluate those players. But, you know, if there's equal, why not, you know, err with a guy that's, you know, closer to home and is going to play with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder.
And just one more, Coach. We got recruitings that listen every single day. They want to know what comes next. So, obviously, you may not be done with this class, but in terms of 2020, how does that evaluation period continue and progress with the Cajuns?
Yeah, we call it our preview stage, and we'll start that. Really started it last couple of days. We're off the road now. You know, we start evaluating 2020s, working our way through our areas. You know, we quality control recruiting this time of the year, the last 3, 4, 5 days, and then we kind of reorganize, regroup, draw the lines maybe a little bit differently, but, you know, just start over. And certainly, you know, like for today example, I'm doing phone calls with a lot of 2020 guys. I did 8 or 10 this morning, do another 8 or 10 this afternoon. You know, we'll take a little 5-day break here, give this 10 full-timers a little time off since they've been on the road, and then we'll come back at it. Tuesday, February the 12th, we'll start our identity program and continue to work hard evaluating and building relationships with this 2020 class.
Again, congratulations. We appreciate the time. I know the Cage is heading for bigger and better things and some of the groundwork, I should say, laid here.
Yeah, great year one. Recruiting in particular, I was very pleased with that plan. You know, to win the West in the first year, I think was a compliment to the type of coaches that we have here. Certainly the buy-in that we got from the kids. Played really hard, proud of our kids and how we played against App State. Wasn't happy with the way we played in the bowl game. You know, I think we can do better there. And we got some things we need to evaluate in terms of how we prepare, all the things that are going on at that time of the year. But, you know, we're living and learning, and I think we're able to keep our staff intact for the most part, which was a huge accomplishment. Had several guys turn down opportunities elsewhere, and I think that speaks to what we're building and the quality of program that we're trying to run here.
Thanks again, Coach. I know we'll catch up soon. Congrats.
All right. Thank you, man. Go Cajuns.
Our thanks again to Billy Napier. And, yeah, they got from 26 to 29 a group of kids that came in late with a bit of a flurry, one from the North Shore High School area over, I guess you would say, north of New Orleans, and then a few more that are going to help this class out along the offensive line at outside linebacker, too. So the Cajuns, their class, complete, and a lot of new faces being injected into the program. This is On the Trail, and every single weekend morning, we are brought to you by Ardco Equipment. When the only road is no road, it's Ardco Equipment. Go see David Langley and Company at Ardco Equipment on Highway 90, just about on the Berry side of where Broussard meets New Iberia. We'll be back in single tier. For the final time in this season, you're listening to On the Trail on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. Only one more to go in the show, but not forever. Just the season finale winding down here. You're listening to On the Trail on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love with a guy that just caught me red-handed. Shea Dixon, go247.com. And Shea, you did call me out during the break, and you're absolutely right. I didn't really give just due to the three players that the Cajuns added after my initial interview with Billy Napier. So just saying they went from 26 to 29, those are numbers. Give some of the names and the exploits behind those three players, because as you told me, and we need to bring this to the air, they added tremendous quality with two of those last three players in particular.
Yeah, well, they hit two of the three biggest schools in the state to wrap up Billy Napier's class. They went up to West Monroe. They get Andrew Gleason, the 6'3", 230-pound defensive end. He's a guy that a lot of people up in North Louisiana liked and were hoping would stay in state. It looked like it would be ULM. Texas Tech was trying to make him a preferred walk-on. But in the end, he stays home with Billy Napier, gets a last-second offer and jumps on it. And they stayed up in the North Louisiana area and went to Neville and got Lakimi and Franklin. And look, here's the downside of Lakimi and Franklin is that as a playing D-end in high school, he was 6'1", 210. He'll be an outside linebacker in college. That's not incredibly big. But here's the upside. Double-digit sacks, 70-something tackles, played at a powerhouse program in high school, got a bit overlooked, but was a 4A defensive, first-team defensive all-state as a senior, not quite defensive player of the year, but landed on multiple all-state teams. I thought it was impressive that ULL came in and got him as the only school to really offer. They've got some staffs, or excuse me, coaches on their staff that know the North Louisiana area well. Obviously, they had already been to Neville to pick up a commitment from one of his teammates and Logan Newell, the big offensive tackle. And then the third guy they added late, which was on signing day, Jacob Bernard, who plays over in Mandeville at Lakeshore. And I've always liked Bernard. I kind of kept him in the mid-3-star, a little bit higher than that, which made him a kind of top 25, 30 prospect in state all along because and here's my reasoning. Is he 5'10", 195? Yes. So he's not big, right? He's a slot receiver. But his film's good. He plays kick returner, punt returner, receiver. Then toss in, he's All-State in soccer. He's All-State in baseball. So you're getting sort of a freaky little athlete who I think could end up playing. He's going to play on UL's baseball team. I know that much. Nichols was begging him to sign with them, playing both sports. LSU extended a preferred walk-on late. The baseball team wanted him to walk on if he was going to be a PWO with football. So he had some big-time offers. And, look, Kentucky wanted to take him on scholarship. Ton of Ivy League schools offered him, Princeton, Yale, Harvard, you got it on the list. Teams like Southern Miss were banging at the door for him. So for Billy Napier to add him late, I really like. And, Ben, it's the end of a signing class for Napier that goes number one in the Sun Belt after they finished fifth in the Sun Belt a year ago. And they were, what, top 60, 70 all along, kind of from the start, wire to wire, in terms of a national class. And you got to remember, that's very good for a UL team that's finished well outside the top 100 for a few years in a row now. So Billy Napier promised results on the field. He delivered. They go to a bowl game, and he promised results on the recruiting trail, and he certainly delivered that. So the future for you guys is bright, Ben. The people in the Acadiana area should be happy.
So help me put a bow on this quickly, and then we'll get to other schools aside from LSU and UL. You told me in the break that two of these three guys that they got on and signed in the afternoon on signing day, that two of the three were among their absolute best signings of the entire period. So are you telling me that it's Franklin, it's Bernard, and then maybe Kendall Wilkerson from Kentwood end up being maybe their three highest-rated signees?
Yeah, certainly Franklin's already up there. Bernard, kind of the rest of the country, didn't quite have him as highly ranked as we did, but I liked him. I think he's a steal for an 11th-hour ad. But, yeah, I would throw in Kendall Wilkerson, obviously. We've talked a lot about Quentin Cobb out of Kaplan. We've talked nonstop about Brandon Lejeune, who probably is maybe he's better than Bernard, I would think. So he's up there as one of their best overall signees out of E.D. White. And remember, Tyler Guidry, Chandler Fields, we mentioned Newell, Jaden Henderson, Osiris Torrance coming out of nowhere in St. Helena. And we talked a lot on these segments about their quarterbacks, about going into Texas and getting different guys, about getting Brian Smith out of JUCO, getting Jax Harrington out of ERATH. I feel like they did probably as good a job as we've seen from UL over the past in any time in recent memory of addressing all their needs, but also actually getting some talented kids. They are a no-brainer, not only top, you know, number one in the Sun Belt, but nobody in Louisiana beyond LSU was able to touch what Billy Napier and company were able to do this cycle.
I just remember for so long, we had the conversation that in the rankings online era, Brandon Lejeune was their top-rated commitment, and now there's some kids that have leapfrogged him, and that speaks to maybe the level that they were able to get in on late. All right, we're getting late in the program here, brother, so share with our listeners some of the others that aren't bleeding vermilion and white, purple and gold, some of the superlatives from National Signing Day around Louisiana.
Well, Tulane had a good class. Look, I like Tulane's class a little more than it looks on paper. And I'll tell you this, Tyler Judson, who plays, on my opinion, the best team in Louisiana at Zachary High in a high classification, is better than anybody UL signed. I think that he's got freaky testing numbers. Ole Miss dropped him, and he finished higher than every Ole Miss signee except two guys. That puts it into perspective how dumb they misplayed that one. But he'll be a day one starter over in Yulman Stadium. I think he's going to be really, really good as a safety. But you run down their class. They had arguably beyond Emory and Ty Davis, the best running back in Louisiana, and Ty J. Spears out of Ponchatoula. They get a good athlete-type running back in Jaquan Jackson from down in Hahnville. And they did a good job of hitting Florida, Tennessee, Texas. Even up in Illinois, they got Armani Dixon, who had some nice offers from up in the Midwest. He chose to go to Tulane, valued academics. So I like their class a lot, and I kind of always like what La Tech's able to do. I mean, remember, they were getting Amik Robertson. They do a really good job of evaling, and you look at even everyone was kind of coming out loving Jazz Ferguson out of high school, but it was his brother Jalen who turns into a potential first-round pick and a really dominant player for them as really a forgotten three-star coming out of East Ascension. So I like those guys a good bit. But now I look into this class, and they got probably, you know, look, Ty Davis was a good running back out of Southern Lab, a really good one. But Jarvis Thornton, his teammate, was excellent. He could have gone to Arkansas, got hurt, didn't commit on that offer early. They took another running back, and La Tech was able to sneak in and get him. And I mentioned the Ferguson kids. Coming out of South Louisiana, and I say East Ascension, I obviously meant that about Deshaun Hall, who was their top defensive line signee. They went to Texas and got Mecole Clark, another defensive lineman. And I liked what La Tech did. Look, even out of Kyrie Morrison was another West Louisiana kid. We had just a couple of weeks ago, Ben, on the show, Zephaniah Powell, who sang the praises of Kyle Maxwell, who was sort of the go-to guy at receiver for A-Meet this year. They won a state title. But in a year when UL did really well in state, when Tulane did really well in state, obviously LSU always does well in state, La Tech had to go outside the state to get some guys, and they did with Georgia, Texas, and into Mississippi for a couple of guys on the offensive line. So I like their class a good bit. Again, it was, I think it finished middle of the pack in Conference USA, a top, 80 class, which is trending a little bit behind where UL was, but not far. And certainly just a little bit behind Tulane, but a really nice cycle for the in-state group. I think that right now, the in-state group between Holtz and Napier and obviously Fritz and his whole staff is probably as good as it's been, man, in recent memory.
And there it is. We're going to fade into recent memory, at least for now. Got to thank Shea Dixon. Cody Schutz, been putting in work all recruiting season long. We're going to sign off, but we will be back and keep you posted. You've been listening to On the Trail on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.